In the second division of our Lord's Olivet Discourse, the Lord relates three parables which prophesy the present period of grace or Christendom. In the first parable of the good and evil servants, we saw illustrated what should and should not be our attitude toward each other in the household of Christian profession. In the parable of the virgins, we saw what should and should not be as to our attitude toward the Lord Jesus and his coming again to the air to receive us to himself. Today, in the parable of the talents, we have illustrated what should and should not be as to our attitude toward the world in our service to the Lord until he comes again. The parable of the talents, then, in Matthew 25, verses 14 to 30, is told by the Lord to emphasize our service in this dispensation of grace. The Holy Spirit, who is the indwelling power in the Christian, enables a true believer to enjoy the Lord Jesus and to tell others of him. This is in decided contrast to Judaism. Only one man in the Old Testament, Jonah, we read of, became a missionary. In Christianity, every person should be a missionary. Every servant has some talent given to him by the Lord according to his ability. The parable illustrates the use of what the Lord God gives us or the abuse of it. Here again we shall see the truly saved in the good and faithful servants and the unsaved professor in the wicked, slothful servant. All this depicts the condition of Christendom, the kingdom of heaven, the sphere of Christian profession, the true and false today. I would like to read the entire passage and believe it would be helpful if my listener is able to get his Bible and follow along. We'll read beginning Matthew 25, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh, and reckoned with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained other 2 talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful in a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, here thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury or interest. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's the end of the parable as given by the Lord Jesus himself. Now, before we seek to explain the parable, it may be helpful just to speak of the symbolism used First, a man, I believe speaks of the Lord Jesus himself. Second, traveling into a far country, suggests his departure from this world at his ascension and the present period while he is in heaven. Third, talents speak of the goods or gifts given by the Lord. And fourth, servants, they are all those who make a profession of Christianity. So then, this is another parable needed to express another aspect of Christian profession during the absence of the king. He has gone into heaven, the far country, and is seated at the right hand of the majesty on high. While he is away, what are his servants doing for him? In the previous parable of the 10 virgins, Jesus takes the title of the bridegroom, and every thought connected with that title is one of love and affection. It is all a question of pure grace on his part, without any merit on the part of those he loves. But in this parable, he takes on another title, that of Lord. As verse 19 reads, he was the Lord of those servants. Now his lordship suggests his authority, which his servants were under. It was to him that they must give account when he returns for the goods that he had committed to their trust. Oh, fellow believer, we would do well to remember that this is before each one of us. We must all appear or be manifested before the judgment seat of Christ in heaven to receive a review of our life's works and be rewarded for faithfulness as to the use of that which he has entrusted to us of his goods. Well, may it be our aim and desire, as expressed by the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 5:9, wherefore let us labor, that whether present or absent, we may be acceptable to him, or well-pleasing to him, as to our service while he is away. Now in the parable, the servants receive in varying amounts goods from the Lord to trade with while he is absent from them. You see, though he is not here, his servants are. And the grace and truth that he brought and dispensed to mankind, he desires should continue to be going out to others and by those who have received these gifts of grace and truth from their risen Lord. In this way, we serve him in making the grace and truth known to a needy world. I might just mention that the parable is similar to the one in Luke 19. Only there the point is the Christian's responsibility according to his opportunities. There, all received the same amounts, but different results were produced. Here, in this parable, they receive different amounts and secure different results, but the good and faithful servants are rewarded cent for cent, because both are faithful to the amount of their gift. Here the sovereignty of God is seen. In Luke, it is a responsibility of man that is set forth. The talents, then, that which consisted of the Lord's own goods, were given to be used for the Lord and not for the glory of the servant. The Lord has left us here in a world that is needy, and there are souls to be won for Christ. Just as a businessman is in business to do business, so should the Christian realize his chief business is to be here for Christ. I remember hearing of a man who was asked what his business was, and his answer brought out the point. My business, he said, is to serve Christ and make known his grace and truth to lost souls. But I work at a slaughterhouse in order to pay expenses. We are saved to serve Christ. Remember what the Lord Jesus himself said, even at the age of 12 in the temple? In Luke 2:49 we read, "Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" Now he was the perfect pattern servant whom we are called to follow. Now we learn in Matthew 25:15, that every believer is given some talent, something of his master's goods, some talent according to his several ability. And it is expected that the servant will use the gift or talent for the Lord's glory and interests. Now, ability may be natural or acquired, and if acquired, may be developed in proportion to the servant as he desires to do so. But the Lord, in his sovereignty, gives gifts to the ability that a person has. He does not call one to service who has no ability to use for the God's glory the truth that's committed to him. The servant must have certain natural and acquired qualifications, as well as the Holy Spirit of God, which every true believer has. If a man is called to be a preacher, for instance, there is a supposed natural aptitude that he has for preaching. All here have not the same gifts, then, but all are necessary. Even though we may not have the gift of an evangelist or a teacher, we can do the work of an evangelist, and we can tell others what God has taught us. Use what he gives us, and he will give more to use for him. Also again I say, and I wish to quote William Kelly onto this, and I quote, "The gift may be increased. So then first there is the ability of the man before and when he is converted. And next, the Lord gives him a gift that he never possessed before. Thirdly, if he does not stir up his gift, there may be a weakening, if not loss. But if a man waits upon the Lord, there may be, on the contrary, increased power given to him." End of quotation. So then, let us use what God gives according to our ability, and in love for souls, make known his grace and truth in proportion to what has been made good to our own souls. It is love for the Lord Jesus Christ, which will make us faithful servants. That is all that the Lord requires of us. The success he alone can give and measure. The faithfulness to use what he gives us is what pleases him and which he will reward. Oh, let us allow the Holy Spirit to equip our body and mind and heart for the service and opportunities that abound around us on every hand today. To do the work of evangelists, let us be ready with a word in season where lost souls are met up with. And the word of Christ we need will not dwell in us richly unless we make it our study. No Sunday school teacher will succeed, says Mr. Lorenzen in his book, The Messiah, the Prince, unless he seeks diligently, earnestly, and prayerfully to learn the book he has set out to teach. To speak a word in season to him that is weary, we must be ever drinking from the living spring. There are ever practical lessons to be learned when the Lord is the teacher, and no one teaches like him. End of quotation. Now in verse 19 we read, "After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with them." This suggests the truth that every one of us shall come before him and give account of ourselves to him. Romans 14 and 12. The one who had received 5 talents came before his Lord, presenting another 5 which he had gained. The one who had received the 2 talents also came, presenting another 2 talents he had gained. To both of them the Lord replied the same, namely, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord." In chapter 24, it was the faithful and wise servant, because there, in the first parable of the second division, it was a question of the household of God where wisdom is needed. Here it is, "Thou good and faithful servant." Both are called faithful. But as Mr. Kelly writes, in the exercise of the gifts which the Lord sends out to the world with the message of grace, it's the goodness of God that is characteristic. What is the source of all grace in the servant of the Lord? Why, it's the appreciation of God's goodness. End of quotation. And oh, my friend, as we read in Romans 2, it is the goodness of God proclaimed that leads men to repentance. But now, next is brought before us the one who had one talent. He did not use it, but hid it in the earth. This shows the possibility of a man taking the place of a servant who never knew the Lord. He was never saved at all. The Lord's words proved this servant was not a true Christian. He called him a wicked, slothful servant. No true Christian is that at all. And his own words also, along with his actions, show that he was a mere professor, because no true Christian would have the thoughts that he had of the Lord as being a hard and austere man and acting unrighteously. No, he did not know, sad to say, the Lord is his Savior. Then, too, the Lord's words concerning the end of that servant show his character. What he had been given as a glorious opportunity, he abused, and that which he abused was taken from him. And then, too, the Lord said, "Cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Never will this be said of any true believer in Christ. But such will be the doom of all who are merely professors of Christ, professed servants of our blessed, absent Lord and coming King. I believe, too, that this is given as a warning to every servant, every true servant. Though a true child of God can never perish, there is need to be reminded that as true servants, that the Lord desires us to be good and faithful, even if we only have one talent entrusted to us. Let us not despise the little that we may have. Let us not hide it in the earth. You know, the Christian is warned about becoming entangled with earthly things, not so much with the gross worldly things, but with the affairs of this life, which take precedence over our real business as Christ's servants. Nothing is little, my friend, if it has to do with the things of God. And my friend, in the using of his grace and truth committed to us for the blessing of others is what honors him. Remember, both servants with the 5 and the 2 talents who used them and gained 5 and 2 more for the Lord were rewarded the same. It is faithfulness that the Lord will commend in the day when he will appoint his servants to rule with him over the millennial earth. My friend, if you're a true Christian, oh, use what God has given as your chief business in view of eternity in love for Christ. But if you're not a true Christian, oh, own up to it now in repentance to him. He'll receive you, and he'll make you true when you accept him as your Savior and Lord. Then you will look forward to the Lord's coming and to the judgment seat where your service will be reviewed. And then you'll enter into the joy of the Lord forever to reign with him in righteousness.